RTE Pulse.
The Cosmo with Scott the Butler. Radio for Ireland's gay and lesbian community.
You're listening to The Cosmo with myself, Scott the Butler, here on RTE Pulse. Now, as you may know, Gay Switchboard Ireland has celebrated 40 years on the road this year, and they were recently celebrating with none other than David Norris, who was on their float as part of Dublin Pride. There's also a great reason to celebrate as well, because they have a brand new director. Maria Kyo has recently taken over the position of director of Gay Switchboard Ireland, and I'm delighted to have her on the phone with me at the moment. Maria, you're very welcome along.
Thank you very much, Scott. Thank you very much.
So, first of all, congratulations on the new role. As director, what is going to be facing you over the next while in Gay Switchboard Ireland?
Well, in Gay Switchboard Ireland, I mean, we're going from strength to strength at the moment. As you just mentioned there, we celebrated our 40 years now this year. But going forward, I suppose what we want to do is we want to progress our services and the type of services that we would provide to the LGBT community. At the moment, you're probably aware now, or you may not be aware, some of our listeners, we have our phone switchboard 7 days a week, but we've also started our new drop-in service on every Saturday from 2 to 4, where members of the LGBT community can actually call into our offices in Outhouse and have a chat with us there face to face. So I suppose going forward from that, we would like to improve. We have other services too that we'd like to improve now that I can go into if you want in more detail, Scott.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead. So there's obviously a range of services, but go ahead.
There are indeed. There's a range of services that we provide at the moment, as I say, the phone support, and we have email support also every day there, which is looked at and answered and replied in our drop-in service every Saturday, where the face-to-face takes place. Going forward, I suppose we've done testing and research on live chat. We find it's kind of a very up and coming, funky, modern thing. A lot of the young people out there want to use the instant messaging and the live chat. So we've a lot of research done on that now, and that's in the development stage itself. So we're hoping that that will go live later on in the year.
Cool.
But the drop-in service itself is going from strength to strength. That was a new service we started off early on in the year. And the HSE themselves, they're very happy with the progress. The six-month review there showed a great success in both callers coming in and emails, and generally the use of the service. The people need it there. It's actually proof in person that it's there, you know.
And Maria, you know, for those people who might not have either heard about it or maybe just don't know too much, you know, the idea of a switchboard or a helpline, you know, might sound okay on paper, but what has it, you know, where did it start off? For those people who don't know, where did it start off?
Well, Gay Switchboard Ireland itself, it started off, I mean, 40 years ago it originally started off, and it was called Tell a Friend. It started off by a lot of guys who realised the need for the service and set up a phone support system amongst them and called it Tell a Friend, solely for the reason that you couldn't refer to a gay switchboard. You couldn't use the word gay in the phone book back in 1974.
That's amazing.
So it was a lot of, like, there was no texting or emails then, so it was a lot of word of mouth amongst the gay community, which spread and spread and spread. And I mean, the calls escalated over the years. There are slumps up and down. There are rises around where AIDS and HIV would have been prominent in the news and media. Would have an increase in calls around then. But ongoing from the start, I mean, people like Clem Clancy and Edmund Lynch and Senator David Norris himself, who would have been deeply involved in the research and getting it up and running. And so it's 40 years there now providing this service for the community. At the moment, we have 42 volunteers, and we have 13 currently in training as well. So people are interested in joining, and the calls are coming in. So we're certainly a service. Unfortunately, we'd like to say in this day and age we wouldn't be required, but it's certainly a service which is very needed by the LGBT community. And I mean, the calls are proof and purchase that we do need to be there for people, you know.
Well, this was one of the other things I was going to ask Maria, is that obviously, you know, 40 years of such an establishment is absolutely fantastic, and it's brilliant that, you know, such a service is still there. But have you seen a change in what is required from you, if that makes sense?
Well, yes, I suppose with society moving on and different acceptances and different things changing in society, we would see a rise in coming out calls. We would see a rise in calls from the transgender community. We would see a rise in more so lonesome calls, people realising in more rural parts of the country where, you know, I'd like to contact the Gay Switchboard, I'd like to know more about it myself. More people maybe coming out and deciding, I want to contact them, I want to get in touch with them, I want to avail of their services and that. So I suppose, and young people, a lot of young people, I mean, belong to would speak about that too. A lot more young people are a lot more comfortable. And I think that's their allies and friends out there too. People in schools and colleges and that, although there are issues there and there are homophobia and transphobia, a lot more young people and people in Irish society in general are realising, you know, live and let live. Yeah. Everybody deserves to love, everyone deserves to be happy. So I think there's a kind of more, a little bit more courage there for people to contact services such as ourselves or drop in to speak to us on that. But then again, I mean, there's people there that, that can't do that also, Scott.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess all the more reason why you guys need to be there to be available as well for those people. Speaking of the amount of, you know, calls and types of calls that you're getting in, obviously that there needs to be someone else on the line. So how are you in terms of volunteers? You said there was 43.
We have 42 volunteers at the moment, and we have 13 currently nearly completed their training schedule now. They would be with their mentors where they'd be supervised on calls until such time as they're about to go live, and that's ready to be, they're nearly ready to go, the fledglings from the nest. They're fully trained now and they've had their mentorships with them, so I would imagine that they'll probably be taking live calls very shortly, and then that will cut in line again with our new training session, which our training coordinator, Mr. Tony Cooney, is hoping to kick off in September. So, and within that training session there, we will have people doing phone support, but we also would love other people, friends and allies from the LGBT community to come forward and help with maybe other ideas or stuff that we deal with. Like, we actually had an open day there last Saturday in Outhouse on the 5th of July, and it was a fantastic success. We had a number of different people coming in. I think we had 18 drop-in people coming in, and I think 14 or 15 of those completed application forms. But with an interest in all other areas also, whether it be fundraising, IT admin, promotional work, outreach stuff with us. So people want to help and people can see the need. So we don't necessarily always have people coming in for phone support. And we've realised that too, that there are other services out there that we can provide to the LGBT community. And we had a fantastic interest in that. So I suppose going forward along that line, these are things that, you know, are showing that people want to join, people are needed there, and our volunteers are going from strength to strength now at this stage. I mean, from 42 and 13 training, and so many applicants that were very interested today. It's all good. It's all good and positive, as I said.
Excellent. So for people who want to find out more about Gay Switch Ward Ireland, it doesn't matter, obviously, where they are in the country, where can they go to?
Well, they can visit our own website, www.gayswitchboard.ie, and over to the right hand side there is a volunteer with us tab, and all the information is contained in there. They can download and fill in the application form, they can email an interest to ourselves also and our training coordinator team, and we get back to them. I suppose all the information there too in relation to our history and the tabs and the services we provide, including the drop-in service, is available there on the website for anyone to have a look at. And there's also something there just of interest to your listeners that possibly be, there's a little click button, a testing locator map now, which is on our website for live locator map for testing for STI clinics all over the country there.
Very good.
So we had a big launch there on the 4th of June with Rory O'Neill aka Panty in partnership with Man to Man and Hanson Pharmaceuticals. So that's another fantastic service we have there if users want to just click on the website to locate that sort of stuff too, for, you know, STI clinics or live testing across the country.
Excellent.
So all the information is there contained in the website. And again, they can call our switchboard anytime they want, Monday to Friday between 6:30 to 9:00. And then weekends, we're here on Saturdays from 2:00 to 6:00 with our drop-in from 2:00 to 4:00. And then Sundays, we're here from 4:00 to 6:00. So we're here every day.
Excellent. All right. And obviously the most important part for people who do want to actually give you a call for whatever reason, what is the number?
The number itself, and as I'd say myself, I'm looking for all the female volunteers to call me too. With the number itself is 01-872-1055. And everybody and anybody, we welcome all people in the LGBT communities and their allies and friends, because we realise there's fantastic empathy out there amongst the community with people who would like to help or support Gay Switchboard Ireland. And we're going to welcome everybody and anybody, because everybody can give a little bit of help. It all goes towards making the whole thing for the LGBT community more positive and more accepting, and a fantastic kind of feeling of togetherness in the community, you know.
Excellent. Well, look, it is a wonderful, wonderful service. Congratulations on your own new position, and hopefully we'll see 40 more years and maybe a few more of Gay Switchboard Ireland. In the meantime, Maria Keogh of Gay Switchboard Ireland, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you very much, Scott.
RTE Pulse. The Cosmo with Scott the Butler. Radio for Ireland's gay and lesbian community.
You're listening to The Cosmo with myself, Scott Butler, here on RTE Pulse. Now it's time to head over to get a bit of new music stateside. Earlier on this week, I was chatting with Gabby Wortman from the duo Smoke Seasons. They're based in Los Angeles at the moment. And I started off by asking them the very simple question: when you do want to find out something a bit more about a band, where do they all start off?
Well, actually, so Jason, who's my bandmate, and I met a couple years ago, and both of us are originally from the East Coast of the U.S. So we're originally New York City kind of people.
Okay.
That found themselves in California. And I think that, like, that trek, our own little manifest destiny, really kind of affected us emotionally. There's something about California that holds a lot of adventure and wonder.
Wow.
And I think that we kind of like took a hold of that Western soul a little bit, and so we decided to start making music that just really encompassed our experiences with California as like non-native people living in California.
Yeah, of course. And does that mean as well that there is still maybe roots from the East Coast as well, or have you just totally embraced this California vibe?
No, there's definitely roots. There's and it's funny because at first, like, our first EP was very, it had a really, really strong Americana influence. And I think Badlands, which is our most recent single, has a really strong Americana foundation. But
yeah,
the other songs on the EP are actually a little bit more exploratory, so we're really excited to kind of like get back to some of our more experimental sounds, which are going to be really obvious on the new EP.
Okay. And then in that case, is it still a case that you're, you know, not necessarily working it out, but you're still willing to experiment with the music?
That actually, experimentation is the most important thing to our sound. One of the biggest things that we do when writing music is we really experiment heavily with different types of pedals and effects and different like tweaks and like technology that we can put on what would normally be like a traditional melody line. So it's built, experimenting with sound and ambiance is built into our songwriting process.
I guess that's something that makes it all the more fun as well. Like, you know, if it was just one genre or one style of songwriting, well, then it would get very boring very quickly.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, our team really has their work cut out for them because they're constantly asked how we would describe our music.
Yeah.
And they're constantly posed with that challenge of trying to put it into like three words. Because it's really, I think the most common things that we hear are like Western, soul, and like cinematic electronics.
Wow. So really, okay, that's an interesting mix.
Yeah, it's really, and at first people are like, I don't get it. Like, what does that sound like? But then when they hear the music, they're like, oh yeah, that does kind of explains it.
So in terms of the dynamic between the two of you in that case, you know, is there a certain dynamic in terms of who writes music together, who tries to put lyrics together, or is it very much a collaborative, okay, what can we do this time with lyrics or, you know, a vibe of a song or something?
I generally tend to write the lyrics only because I tend to sing most of the lead vocals.
So you know what you're able to do, kind of.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so it's funny because, like, with Jason, he, a lot of times, it'll either start as a melody on the keyboards, which would be me writing that, or a melody on his guitar.
Ooh.
And a lot of times, I'll just sing gibberish, like, made-up words in a made-up language until I have, like, the actual melody of the vocals down, and then the words will come out of that. And it's funny because lately we've found that my gibberish is actually words. and actually make sense. It's almost like stream of consciousness writing of lyrics. And
that is fascinating.
Yeah, and all of a sudden you're like, wait, those ended up being the real lyrics. Like, you just like kind of humming and saying random words and stuff, and then they come together, and like, it's really easy to fill in the blanks and finish the lyrics after that.
That is absolutely fascinating. It shows that it's almost like an unconscious process.
I think it's because what we try to do is be really, let the words be submissive to what the music feels like.
Mm.
So if it ends up being a really cohesive message, because I'm just trying to write lyrics that come naturally from the effect of the melodies and the music that we're writing.
Excellent. All right. That sounds like a really innovative style of writing. I really like it. So aside from the music as well, you're also a advocate of LGBT rights in your downtime. Tell us a bit more about this.
I'm an openly bisexual woman. So for me, and music is my strongest way of expressing myself. So a lot of times I try to embody the strength that it takes to just be open and be strong enough to stand up for what you believe in.
Yeah.
I try to embody that in my persona as an artist. Great. And actually, I have to say, it's really wonderful to work with Jason, just to work with him and build a business with him and build art with him, because he's a really great example of a male feminist.
Oh, fantastic.
And like, I know, they're so rare, these things. But it's really great, because a lot of times we see the world from a very equal rights perspective, and both of us tend to be sadly disheartened by people's reactions to things as we encounter them, and their closed-mindedness at times. And I think it's really nice to be able to go through this whole process with a man who has the same beliefs that I do. But he's on the other end of the spectrum, you know. But it's really important to us. We're very outspoken about our political beliefs. Which I think that you have to be when you have the attention of more people than the average person.
Yeah, no, I understand that. And I think it's funny when you say that about the about Jason, because, you know, I was going to say it was possibly because of the fact that I'm gay, but now that I think about it, I was, you know, even before I even thought about that myself, you know, my mother would be quite a feminist as well. And, you know, growing up in a household like that, you know, I never understood why, you know, men would be treated differently to women, or that there'd be a certain level of privilege involved with either one. And I totally get what you mean when you say that it's very comforting to have someone of the same mindset as you that kind of looks at and goes, you know, well, why would there be a difference? So yeah, I understand that completely. So in terms of that aspect of things, like, would there be any kind of, say, like, Pride Festival, or you know, is there an aspect to the gigs or the concerts that would be involved with the gay community, or is it just kind of the two run parallel to one another?
No, absolutely. Actually, I've played Seattle Pride Fest before, back in 2011, when I was a solo artist. Yeah, it was it was the day after they legalized gay marriage in New York.
Wonderful.
They passed some kind of bill, so it was probably one of the most amazing experiences of my whole life to just be involved in that in such a celebratory time. But for both of us, like, even we've been, the LGBT community has been really, really kind to us in terms of fans and support for our art and stuff. And so as a result, it's adamant about giving back. And that means like performing wherever we can, doing festivals, trying to do different charity events and stuff, and that's just a really important aspect for us.
And Gabby, final question, what is next for Smoke Season?
So our new EP, we've been working really hard for the past year on it. It's being released July 29th.
Cool.
So it'll be available online, digitally, so all over the world you can find it at that time. And we have a music video for Badlands, which is the single that we just released a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
That's coming out July 1st.
That was Gabby from Smoke Season, and if you want to find out more about the band, you can check out smokeseason.com.
RTE Pulse. The Cosmo with Scott the Butler. Radio for Ireland's gay and lesbian community.